Welcome to the Transform Podcast. My name is Andrew Farhat. I am the lead pastor of St. John's Church and School in Denver, Colorado, right across the street from Wash Park. And in this podcast, what we do is we consider what it looks like to follow Jesus. We consider what it looks like to be committed to a Christ-centered worldview and operate with that as our lifestyle. This podcast is for you if you are seeking what that might look like or if you have already committed your life to Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Transform Podcast. My name is Andrew Farhat. I have a great guest with us today. His name is Phil Barnard.
Good morning, Andrew. Good morning, everyone.
So grateful that Dr. Barnard is here today. And the question that we're going to ask Dr. Barnard is, isn't Christianity a less intelligent worldview than other worldviews that are out there?
Interesting.
So, Dr. Barnard, what would you say? Because I think that is a common sentiment, especially amongst the atheist and agnostic community, is they would say we base what we believe in on science and reason, but you guys just go with faith. So what would you say to that?
Sure, yeah. No, I agree. The premise of that argument is typically that atheists or people that do not believe in God are people that base their belief in empirical science and evidence and hard data, and that Christians are people that have a blind faith or rely on an ancient scripture that may or may not be relevant for today. But is that question really true? And I would say that yes, I have to admit there are probably many Christians out there who are Christian by birth or haven't really richly dived in and analyzed their faith. But I'd also suggest that there's a lot of non-believers, a lot of atheists who are also doing that for, haven't also dived in and richly analyzed their faith in no God. So I think just to say that atheists analyze their faith and Christians don't analyze their faith is not true. And some of the greatest thinkers in Western history have been Christians who have been inspired by their Christian faith and have gone on and intelligently contributed to the world in science and philosophy and the arts and literature. And that has been largely because they've dived into their Christian faith intelligently and researched it and analyzed it. You think of people like Augustine or Blaise Pascal or Aquinas or C.S. Lewis. There's many leading scientists as well who have been inspired by their Christian faith and intelligently analyze it.
Okay. And so what would you say are some scientific or reasonable evidences for believing in God? So in other words, I think the concern that you hear from folks is blind faith versus having some reasons to believe, so what would be your reasons to believe?
Well, one of my greatest reasons to believe in the Christian faith is to believe in a transcendent and a supernatural being who's bigger than us. First of all, I look around and I see the earth and I see how it operates. I see the trees, I see the sun, I see the laws of physics, and it came from somewhere. And it seems to be to me that there would be a designer behind all of this. Something had to cause nothing to become something. And for me, the best explanation is that there is a transcendent supernatural being who is the first cause, who caused everything else. If everything existed, it exists for a reason. And I believe there's a being behind that who began everything.
Okay. And so it sounds like you're saying that it's not reasonable to believe that all of this just came from nothing.
It doesn't seem reasonable to me.
That's a good point, because we typically have that. I think it's called the law of causation, that everything you see in front of you was caused by someone, and typically it's human beings creating things. But when it comes to this universe, we obviously didn't put that together.
No. And that's not even yet getting into the Christian God. To me, that's just evidence that there is a being who started everything and organized it and designed it and has it running. Like the consistency of the natural laws of physics that keep everything going, the consistency of the laws of math, consistency in so many natural laws indicate that there was a being thinking behind this and designing it.
Very good. And so what would you say to the person who believes in God, but they may be kind of maybe not practicing or not really involved in terms of their faith? If there is a God, what difference does that make to our lifestyle?
Oh, man, it's a huge difference. If there is a God and this God is big enough to have started the universe, and this is God is big enough to have designed us and created us, then I think that God is very worthy of being listened to in how things should operate and how our lives should operate. If whoever designs something gets to have a say on how that thing is used, best used. So if God truly designed us, and I believe he did, then he has a say on how humanity best operates, and humanity, for want of a better term, is best used.
I think that makes a lot of sense, because it's like, all right, if there is a God, then we probably need to understand what he wants from us. And what is required of us while we're here, because he created us, he invented us, and so that makes total sense to me. Now, Phil, when it comes to scientific minds, I believe that one of the issues that people bring to the table is, all right, in the Bible you have all kinds of strange stories, okay? So you got a talking snake talking to Eve in the beginning. You have Balaam's ass, for lack of a better term, Balaam's
donkey.
He's the talking donkey. And then also, in addition, you have the famous story of Jonah, who gets swallowed up into the belly of a fish for 3 days and then gets spit back out. So I guess my question would be is, scientifically, how do you rationalize those kind of strange stories?
Great. So you're referring to a few stories in the Bible where seemingly odd things happen that are somewhat unbelievable to us. Well, I think first of all, if we believe in a God who has thoughts that are higher than our thoughts, and has, and also a God that designed the universe and upholds the universe, then he is big enough to cause the natural laws to stop or to cease. He's big enough to cause miracles to happen. And I think part of humility is understanding that God can do miraculous things if he wants to do that. And it's not my choice to decide whether or not he does that or not. So if these things are recorded and God chose to do them, then I have faith in, then that happened. These are some of those things that to me wouldn't interrupt my faith anyway. If for some reason they were shown to be incorrect, it actually wouldn't interrupt my faith. It doesn't change my perception of a great God.
It makes total sense. It seems like what we're discussing is the miraculous. And if there's a divine being who is all powerful, then it would also make sense he could do miraculous things.
Yep.
Because obviously if he created this whole universe by speaking, he has the power to put Jonah in a fish for 3 days,
easily.
Probably.
Absolutely. Absolutely, easily. And if I'm going to rely on him for my salvation and trust him for that, then he's a big enough God to do other things that are outside of my realm of understanding. I can't be the final, ultimate piece of knowledge in this universe. There's someone else that's bigger than me.
Okay, so what would you say to the folks that have a worldview that are like, all right, most of the people that are believers, they live in rural America, they're uneducated, but then the big city people, we don't believe. There's more atheists there because we're more educated and we're intelligent. And then it seems to be that there's this worldview and maybe cultural divide that can take place in people's minds there. Sure. And then all the smart people are professors at our great universities in our country. And a lot of them seem to be anti-Christian, especially on the East and West Coasts, etc., and some other major urban centers.
Yeah, sure. Well, I guess I'd start off by saying that truth is truth, and it is truth regardless of who actually believes it. So it's outside. Truth is outside the realm of who is thinking it.
And that's a good point. And then you've also made the point that there are several other smart people throughout the years who are very intelligent.
Oh, absolutely.
And can you name a few other of those folks that believed in this sort of worldview that we hold to?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've talked about some of the historical ones, but there's also current scientists who have been making incredible and exciting contributions to our knowledge, who are devout Christians and have either started off on the non-theism trail and because of their exploration in science have become Christians.
Oh, wow.
Or their Christianity actually inspired them to the study and the research that they had. And I think of John Polkinghorne. He's a British physicist who ended up becoming an Anglican priest, and he contributed to theoretical elementary particle physics. Of course, you already knew that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, thinking of the famous Hubble contributor Alan Sandage. He was an American astronomer, but also a devout Christian, and he worked on the Hubble Constant. Ian Hutchinson, who's a professor of nuclear science at MIT. He's also a devout Christian. And then one of my most inspiring people is Francis Collins, who's an American physician and geneticist, and he worked, he was absolutely instrumental in the Human Genome Project. So understanding DNA and mapping all of our DNA. He's a committed Christian. And in fact, one of his favorite quotes talking about his the interaction between science and faith is, he says, "I believe God did intend in giving us intelligence to give us the opportunity to investigate and appreciate the wonders of his creation. He is not threatened by our scientific adventures." And I think that just, to me, speaks of a God who actually encourages us to dive into science, who encourages us to use our faith, who encourages us to explore the world around us. Because ultimately, the more that we explore the world, the more that we explore nature, the more we get to understand the mind of God and who he is and what he is like. So Francis Collins there is actually saying, go dive into science because God's not frightened by it. He actually wants you to do it.
Wow, that's pretty cool. And Dr. Barnard, would you say that it does take some faith to believe that everything we see was caused by nothing, and that basically we're just here with no purpose?
Yeah, to me that actually takes more faith. You know, it's the old adage, and it's been used a lot, but first there was nothing and then it exploded. That to me takes more faith that everything came from nothing than everything came from a intelligent being who designed this and put this here and created it.
Dr. Barnard, can science tell us the purpose of our lives and the meaning of life?
I don't see that it can. I think the purpose comes from the designer. It's only the person who builds the computer, who builds the house, who bakes the cake, who can actually tell you the reason behind them baking their cake. Mm-hmm.
And then also, when it comes to human rights and morality, are we able to have a strong worldview when it comes to human rights with just simply a scientific, naturalistic, atheist worldview?
Well, I think that's very problematic. I think what Christianity does is it gives you a gold standard, a measuring stick, according to what's right and what's wrong, and that's because of God, the creator, who designed it. Without that, what are you left with? If you're left with the idea of survival of the fittest, then most of our ethics should be flipped on their head. It should be the other way. We shouldn't have compassion on the weakest in our community, because survival of the fittest tells us that they should not reproduce and they should not carry on. So why would we have compassion on somebody? Whereas most people in our society would say we should have compassion on the sick and the health and the unwell.
Has survival of the fittest made a difference in some European communities or countries and impacted the way that they do society and government?
That's a wonderful question. Where are you going with that one, Pastor Andrew?
What I'm wondering is, you know, you brought up something, survival of the mm-hmm, fittest. Mm-hmm. I think we've all heard of that from mm-hmm. Darwin's theory. Mm-hmm, and you mm-hmm. alluded to, and you tell me, does it mean that the weakest need to be eliminated?
Essentially, yeah. This is survival of the fittest is the idea that the strongest and the fittest are the ones that should reproduce and carry on the species, and the weakest, well, we have no reason to keep them alive.
Okay, so my question is does that make an impact on, like, the disabled people or, you know, people who are weaker in society?
Yeah, absolutely. It tells us that they're not worthy of living and definitely not worthy of reproducing. So if they can't survive, that's not on us. Wow. And if you want to extrapolate that to imagine a society that built laws and regulations and policies based on that idea.
My goodness.
I mean, that idea in itself would lead to widespread genocide.
Wow. So it sounds like if we are just left with a naturalistic, Darwinistic, purely Darwinistic worldview, then all we have is just, you know, our own reason. And then if you take the science of survival of the fittest, it can lead to you excluding or even worse, mm-hmm. eliminating the weakest mm-hmm. among us.
Yeah. And other people would say, well, we should define our moral ethics based on the most popular idea So whichever idea has the most people in society in support of it, that's what we should operate. But we've seen it before. Crowds are easily swayed. It's quite easy to get a population to lead to one idea, which then extends to, again, we've taken it to the extreme, genocide. And we've seen that in areas of Europe in the past and Africa and Asia and different places. But the Christian belief would be that God has still given us a moral standard that's true, and it's true regardless of how many people think it.
If you're still listening, what I would tell you is Christianity is the only worldview where human beings, we have a theological viewpoint that they are created with dignity, value, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. worth, that they have inherent worth within them. Science cannot tell us that for sure. But yet, Christianity, the God of the Bible, does tell us that. And so if you're listening, we want you to know that you have a purpose. You were made in His image and in His likeness, that He loves you, and that He sent His one and only Son to reconcile the relationship between you and Him so that you would have the gift of eternal life and the power of His Spirit living in you today. And so I want to encourage you, if you are a believer, to be assured of His love for you. If you are also a seeker, we want you to know that the invitation that God makes is available to you. He says, repent and believe. Repent is to turn your life over to Him. Believe is to trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you haven't done that yet, we want to invite you to do that. We thank you for listening. If there is somebody that you think could be blessed by this message today, go ahead and share it. And we're so grateful for your encouragement and your support. Have a nice day.